Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. On this Taco Tuesday in Baltimore. Monday night football game was uneventful for the most part. Very uneventful.
Fair.
Was that a fair assessment of it?
I mean, Dak threw four touchdown passes, kind of mixed it around. Pickens had a big day. I mean, what else do you want to say about it? Like, Javonte Williams is okay. It was just a matter of...
Joe Smith's bad.
Yeah. They got the lead early, and then that was that.
They threw the ball at one point. I think the Raiders did, 14 times in a row?
Was that what it was?
I think it was 14. Because at one point they said there was 12 consecutive pass plays. And I think they threw two more. Mm-hmm. But let's put it this way, at least a dozen. That is a recipe for failure.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL is a passing league. Like, maybe 55-60% passing, not 80% passing. That's a recipe for failure. And Chip Kelly. Why do people keep giving him chances?
You know what it is. It's the fact that he created an offense in college that people admired and tried to imitate, and it's very difficult to, but in college, it's a little bit easier because it's a lot of pitch and catch. And if you're scheming, you don't have the same talent you have at the NFL, and you don't have the same coaching looking at what the rules are and everything and how it's applied. The problem I see with it is when Chip Kelly came to the league, we had a guy that ran this up-tempo offense. And when it's working, it's great. When it doesn't work, your defense is sitting their ass out on the field all damn day. And that's what happened when he went to Philly. Couldn't get anything going there. Couldn't get the offense going. And then you look at Chip Kelly and it's like, what is this? This isn't what we saw in college.
Is there any better club to break into, though, than college football head coach? Because once you get a job,
you keep getting it.
You have a job for life. You make tens of millions of dollars over your lifetime. You can do terribly. You're better off doing badly and getting fired and bought out.
And by the way, people don't talk about it enough. There's more nepotism in coaching than almost any other thing.
Everybody's got their son on his staff But I mean, look at Franklin. I mean, they couldn't get him out of Penn State fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
Gone, paid out. Oh, got another job. Is Virginia Tech, is the ink dry on that yet or
look at what the big, so the smaller schools or the intermediate ones are the ones that really have to do all the work because the bigger schools are like, oh, they found him. He's really good. Let's just pay him more money than they can, and he'll come here because that's what's going on with Lane Kiffin right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's five gigantic openings in college football, and then they're all like trying to get Lane Kiffin, so he's going to hold either Ole Miss up for a ton of money or he's going to leave and just get paid absolute bank to go somewhere else and be a jackass. I mean, he's a good offensive coach.
Yeah. Who's a good Lane Kiffin? Oh, I think he's awesome. I think he's awesome. I think he's a brilliant, brilliant mind. However, I think he's one of the guys who can also administrate. You got some guys who are brilliant offensively. They can't administrate. They can't see both sides of the ball. I think Lane Kiffin is one of those rare breeds. I think if he does go to LSU and LSU flew he and his family in, I think he could be successful there.
Yeah. I think he could be successful anywhere. Yeah. He's, as you said, look, He's a jackass, but he's a brilliant jackass.
Mm-hmm.
He is. He's like, he understands offense. He finds mismatches. He devises plays. If you have a weakness, he will find it. Pretty sure Lane Kiffin is the one that found Achilles' weakness.
You know who it was him?
Yeah, he was there at the River Styx. You were there too, Ed, so you should have seen it.
I was holding, make sure his mother didn't fall in when she held him.
Where were you holding her at?
You know.
Like a six pack.
You're not letting the camera see that, are you?
What, his bottle? What?
Yeah, that bottle.
You can see, they can what see, bottle? Right?
Okay. All right. I'm looking over like, what are you doing? He's making them think about us.
The quicker they get to know us, the better.
Yeah, then we can move past all this BS of apologizing for who we are.
Yes, exactly.
Put the bottle off front. This is why.
Yeah. And we'll keep going back to
it. Wait a minute. Who apologizes?
No. It goes back to the Ricky Gervais thing. Just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right. Okay?
Oh, boy. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ravens win 23-16. They're now 5-5 on the year. A game behind the Pittsburgh Steelers with two games with the Steelers still remaining. Someone tried to do some math to me the other day. They said, well, the Steelers are one game up. That's really like two games up. I said, how? Because they haven't played them yet. So how's that two games up?
Yeah, if they had beat them in the first one, you could say that in essence, up. They're up 1.5 games.
I said, that's they right. haven't played them. I said, you do realize that the Ravens, if they have the same record, then the Ravens beat them, then by your logic, that means the Ravens are really up one game. He said, well, only they haven't played the second game yet. I said, exactly. Yours doesn't make sense either.
Yeah.
They have not played one. They are game up. It's a clean slate and head to head. So the math is the math. They're one game up. And that's a good place to be for the Ravens. I think kind of Hank sitting in the woods a little bit, watching this Ben Roethlisberger. Not Ben Roethlisberger, yes.
I think they'd be better off if Ben brought his big ass out of retirement.
Aaron Rodgers. I saw a story on CBSSports.com. I don't know if you guys saw it. Comparing if Aaron Rodgers plays in a game with a broken wrist compared to once Terry Bradshaw did that.
Oh, he did actually.
Yeah, with his left wrist broken. Yeah. And so he could join Steeler legend in doing that. I think Bradshaw may have won a Super Bowl that year, though.
I hope he comes.
I don't think the Steeler team is going to do that.
I mean, I don't wish injury upon anyone, but it would be kind of hilarious if he came back and then broke the right one and he needed help wiping his rear end, you know. Only for the best for Aaron Rodgers out there with the. I don't know why you would try to come back with a broken.
I don't know
wrist.
Why you would say what you just said.
Yeah.
What? That's
what?
That's now, that.
That's got to be the one thing that you don't want. You don't want somebody else wiping your ass, right?
Get a bidet.
Well, I guess he could afford that.
Yeah, he could.
I have one. Anybody? See, they gave it to us for free.
It's just for the rich. You want to shoot water up your rear end? Get money.
You want to be civilized? Pay $99 and go to Lowe's.
You want to get off all the remnants? Yeah, that's what you do. But no, with the Aaron Rodgers thing, it's like, even if he rushes back, he was bad with two good hands. What's he going to be with one? He stinks, man. He's done. It's like, put a fork in him. It's over. Like the Sopranos. Mm-hmm. It's over.
It's over. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. College football, we talked about it before, but the reports are that Maryland AD has said Mike Locksley will be back next year. First of all, Ed, do you believe that? We'll have Mike Locksley on the show in the 9 o'clock hour. Do you believe that? Do you believe his word? Not because he could be back independent of what the AD said. Do you take the AD for his word right now?
I'm going to have to. He said it. I find it hard to believe.
People say a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I find it hard to believe he'd be back. You know,
if he's terminated, they have to pay him $13 million.
Yeah, the only thing, it may be that
he's due $6.1 million every year up until after the 2027 season, and then on top of that, if you fire him early, or you want a buyout early, it's going to be $13 million.
Yeah. So they don't have $13 million. Is that what we're saying?
I'm not saying that. It's just like I do think it's a school that might look at the financials a little bit more than some
others. I heard
other
exactly ones. That it's one of the schools that they're not like the other, you know,
Big Ten schools.
Big
okay,
Ten
so
schools.
Having said that, now we wonder why they can't compete in the Big Ten.
Yeah,
the problems at Maryland are greater than Mike Locksley.
Yeah,
oh
they're
for
greater
sure.
than Mike Locksley. Yeah. Go to Ohio State, Michigan, and even Michigan State, Iowa, even, and look at their facilities and look at ours. Look at a stadium.
Yeah.
You're a 17-year-old kid. You're going on a recruiting visit.
I know.
You go to Penn State, you go to Maryland.
Yeah.
Tell me where you're going. If you have
the choice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not only a choice, but you are one of their top recruits. So it doesn't mean if I come to Maryland, I'm going to be the man. But if I go to Ohio State, no, you'll be the man there too.
Yeah.
So where you want to be the man? So, you can get rid of it. For those of you to think that firing James Franklin is the answer, okay, fine. Is the next guy bringing a bag of money to build the facilities?
It's all that. Who the hell was I talking about? Oh, my friend Michael. Just told me to be able to, because he went to Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Has he been to a football game at Maryland? It's like, no. It's like, not like that.
Not like that at all.
Not like that. It's just.
I woke up when I lived down in South Carolina, woke me up.
Yeah.
I'm like, this team, South Carolina was in the middle of a 20-game losing streak, and they still had 80,000 plus in the stadium.
Right.
I mean, come on, man. Do the math. We'll talk more college football at 6:45, but on the other side, John Harbaugh gave his defensive line on Monday, saying that they played pretty darn good on Sunday. At this point in the season, is it too late to really change anything? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
6:16 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. If you recall, the Baltimore Ravens began the 2025 season with some defensive issues against some of the better offenses in the National Football League. Over the past month or so, even in the loss against the Los Angeles Rams, a very good offense, they've shown lots of improvement. This is what John Harbaugh had to say about his offensive line.
You put the best five players out there. The best five players are the five guys who are playing the best. That's what you do. It's not even a hard answer. So the question is pretty much, yeah, we're putting the best five players out there, and they're playing pretty darn good. Can they play better? Sure. And you evaluate it play by play. Every single position, you evaluate it play for play for play for play. And some plays are great. Some plays are good. Some plays need to be better. You want them to be better, and you try to improve on them. So that's how it goes with every position. So. And there's always going to be areas where, you know, that from one game to the next can play better or whatever. So that's how it works. You put your team out there and you compete. That's what we've been doing. So all of our guys, including our offensive line, you know, fight and compete and get after it. You know, and that's what those guys are doing too. So none of our positions are perfect, and they're not perfect either. So, but they're trying to be. They're trying to be. So. We put our best group out there and we fight. That's what we do.
He had said in another quote similar to this, talking about the same thing, where it's like, you know, you put your best five guys out there. That's an easy question for me to answer. But does he? Because, like, to me, that sounded a bit like a cop out. Because we all know, I mean, they could say whatever they want. He's had his doghouse, and players get in that doghouse.
You,
and tougher than
you
get
think
out.
There's a doghouse on the O-line right now?
I mean, I think there's one with Ben Cleveland, clearly. Yeah. It's been here forever. I don't even know if Cleveland can play, if he's better than what they have. Maybe the five best guys are out there. But again, like, there's been no change. There's been no, hey, this guy's not playing well. Let's put this guy in and see what's going on.
Do you think, I mean, you've said this several times about Ben Cleveland in the doghouse, and we've seen that before. Darnell Ellaby years ago was a guy who was in the doghouse for whatever reason. I don't know. Was there one specific incident or event that you recall that would put Cleveland in the doghouse?
I mean, I have no idea.
There was something you knew.
No.
And I think it'd be tough with offensive linemen
to put them in the doghouse
to pick the reason for us.
Okay,
because with other people, because you know, if you know, you have somebody who's having a great day, they'll put the ball on the ground and that's it. You're done. And you never come back. You never see him again for a fumble.
But offensive line different.
Yeah, how would we pick it up? You know, an assignment missed that we wouldn't know because we didn't know what the play call was.
See, I had somebody tell me, whether this is true, fair or not, that, you know, Ben Cleveland's the type of guy, like when he's done playing football, he'll mm-hmm. never pick up a football, look at a football. Like, this is kind of like work to him.
Mm-hmm.
He'd rather be out hunting in the woods every single day and living mm-hmm. that life than going out and playing.
And knowing John Harbaugh is a football lifer, that could be a problem.
I don't know. Like, I'm not trying to insinuate anything here. This is just what somebody told me that knows mm-hmm. him. Like, if that's true or not. But the thing is, I understand you got to answer the question, but we all know he's been here long enough. We know that he's had players in the doghouse.
Yeah.
There's no question. And that's been the thing that we've talked about with Ben Cleveland. Maybe there's somebody else. Did they not make a move? Did they not make a trade mm-hmm. for an offensive lineman? You can't tell me you couldn't have gone out and gotten something on the cheap from one of these teams that's out of it, you know? But I don't know.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. The O-line is improved, but Ed, do you think the O-line is improved just because of what they're doing? Or maybe the addition of having an all-pro fullback back from injury has helped out the O-line?
I think a couple things help out. The O-line is playing poorly. I mean, it's not just the analysis that's coming through. You hear it from people like, you know, McKusick will tell you. He'll come in with detailed analysis of what each guy has done during the game. How many times they've missed blocks, how many pressures they've allowed. And they're not doing well grade-wise. But the eye test is what I use. Like, I know what I saw, and I know what I've been seeing. And I've seen Faalele get just, you know, do his best impersonation of a turnstile. The people blow right by him. I've seen Rosengren get thrown to the ground. Granted, this was Myles Garrett this week. Mm-hmm. Okay. But he was being tossed around like a kid. Like, he looked like, you know, a senior playing a JV player, just teach him a lesson. Like, it was really bad. And I think that you mentioned, the fullback comeback. I think Ricard makes up tremendously for some of this line play. And so does Lamar. Because I think he, you know,
yeah,
he'll create a little hesitation on, you know, on defensive players because, you know, you don't know what he's going to do. Although now it's, I think he may be nursing that hamstring or knee or whatever the hell it was.
We said it yesterday, 5 sacks on Sunday. If that's not Lamar's, 8 sacks.
Yeah.
Right. It's probably 8. That's how bad it was.
Yep.
410-583-1057. Let's go to Dundalk and get Johnny. What's up, Johnny?
Fellas, good morning. Hey, look, I can't disagree with John Harbaugh anymore, man. Like, I told Joe, there is no way that any man with the complexion of mine should be tackling Lamar Jackson at the line of scrimmage. That's an offensive line problem when that happens. And that boy from Cleveland, Slaughter or whatever, he was on Lamar too much in that game. And that's the offensive line. That's a problem.
Yeah, man. Like, Lamar hides a lot of your, for lack of a better term, your warts.
Your
like
flaws. The flaws.
You look at it, and he's able to create. Like, when we had the game last week, and Ken McKusick comes in and said he had two plays in the entire game where he had 3 seconds, at least 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't tell me that's a recipe for success. And again, he's so good at getting out and creating extra time that I think sometimes you take it for granted. I'm not saying the team's doing this, but you can't go, yeah, man, we're fine there because he does such a good job at creating extra. No, how much better could he be if you kept him upright the whole game and allowed him to look down the field?
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. The Baltimore Ravens, this is a – are you kind of concerned, guys? I mean, the season is going the way the season is going right now. But they need to fix the offensive line. They need a pass rusher. They have no tight ends under contract next year. Are you kind of concerned with the direction of the team is next year with so many needs?
That's why I was talking about the draft picks and holding on to them, man. Yeah. There's a lot of needs on this team.
And there's going
to
be needs. I mean, I think offensive line is a present need. You might need tight ends next year.
I mean, if you think about it.
There's a lot of people that might be walking.
You want to, and by the way, you're losing two pass rushers unless you re-sign Kyle Van Noy or Jones that they traded for from Tennessee. They're both free agents at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. You have a restricted free agent in Keenan Mitchell. But when you start looking at the other pieces, like, you're looking at how the team's set going, oh, yeah, they're fine. And then all of a sudden you're going, wait a minute, they have no tight ends. Mm-hmm. They need to improve the offensive line. You've got guys that are coming up for contract. Mm-hmm. You may have lost Matt Ibike for the rest. I mean, we don't know if this is a career ender, if this is just a season ender. And then, oh, by the way, the best player you have, like, next to Matt Ibike and Travis Jones, he's a free agent and is going to be one of the most coveted free agents. Yeah. And if you're going to franchise your tight end and Isaiah Likely, then you're going to be competing with everybody else to try to sign him, and I don't know if they can afford him without extending Lamar.
Let's go to Manny in Essex. Manny.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Good. Well, how are you?
All right, buddy. Listen, Jaden Gary always gets four sacks for every. I mean, if you watch all the teams he plays, he got all 3 to 4 sacks every game. Lamar, I mean, my biggest problem is, like I told you, Ricard was the biggest asset we have on that team right now because he helps everybody, the line, helps Lamar, everything. Lamar has to stop holding the ball too long. And this holes everywhere. There's a lot of holes. He got to start running a little bit. That will open up everything else. He's forgetting where he came from.
So, first of all, Manny, he does not average 3 sacks a game. He had 9 sacks in 2 games. So, it's fine. If you want to make it, he has averaged 3 sacks a game. That's not true. And another thing is, watch the all 22. For those of you to say Lamar needs to throw the ball away, I was watching a game the other day with someone, and they were yelling at the quarterback. It wasn't Lamar for not throwing the football. And I'm thinking to myself, what are you talking about? There's nobody open. Fortunately, they showed the overhead shot.
Yeah.
And I said to them, where do you want him to throw the ball? You guys say that all the time. You never sat back there.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they just throw the ball away, you ask, why you throw the ball away as an interception? Sometimes it's better to take a sack than it is to just throw the ball away. And another thing is, if I have people on my feet and on my waist and I remove the ball from my body, strip sack. So why didn't you protect the ball? You damn if you do, damn if you don't. Wow. How about the solution is do your job up front?
People have to get to the point where they realize you don't get to just sit here and cheer all these things that go on and then bitch about it. Like, for example, Lamar makes big plays down the field, right? We've talked about his A-dot, how accurate he's been. Yeah. He's being one of the best quarterbacks, not just in the league, but to ever play this game. And it's the give and the take. Like, Big Ben took a lot of sacks. Why? Because he made a lot of huge plays. So it's a give and take that you're going to have with it. He's going to hold on to the ball too long. There's a lot of quarterbacks in this league that does it. And that's what we talked about Caleb Williams last year.
So because they're trying to make plays very often.
He's a big play quarterback. Yeah. College football recap at 6:45. But on the other side, do you think Kyle Hamilton has a real chance of winning Defensive Player of the Year? Or is that guy that had four sacks the other day locked this up? Baltimore's big bad morning show on the Fan.
He made it really hard on the running backs, you know, just to block him. And then his length, too, you know, batting balls down, those kind of things. He was just impactful. He always is, but he was super impactful the whole game. Pretty much in every way he can be impactful. Yeah, he only had one bad play, and it was really after the play, you know. So we'll have to talk about that. You know?
That's John Harbaugh on his safety, Kyle Hamilton, 32 solo tackles, 6 pass defenses, 2 forced fumbles on the year. Does Kyle Hamilton, Ed, have a real shot at Defensive Player of the Year?
No. Only because of his position.
I'm glad you said it.
Yeah, only because of his position. He certainly should. I mean, he's been as impactful as Myles Garrett has, on a better team. But I think people just, you know, if you're an edge rusher, this is going to be as ridiculous as quarterbacks winning MVP. Because now, the Defensive Player of the Year is almost always a pass rusher. I'm trying to remember the last time it wasn't. Was it Sertan?
That somebody won it?
Yeah, who was not a pass rusher.
I thought it was I think it was a cornerback from Miami, but wasn't it?
I thought it was a cornerback from Denver.
Oh, that just recently won it, you mean? I was thinking a few years back that...
No, I'm thinking like recent years. Like, it seems like it's always going to be.
I think it's always been a pass rusher.
J.J. Watt, T.J. Watt, Miles Garrett.
Sertan last year.
It was Sertan last year, yeah.
It has to be I'm co-signing on everything Ed just said, line for line, bar for bar, all of it, because he's 100% right that you have to have the perfect year for someone like Kyle Hamilton and get it, meaning you don't have a guy with 17 sacks. Maybe you have a bunch of guys with 12 and 13, and you have 5 sacks, you have 5 interceptions, and just kill it across the board, and then the narrative starts to build. The rule of thumb for Defensive Player of the Year is that you have to be one of the 10 highest defensive efficiency players the year before. So, if you go back and look at it the last 20 years, the guys that won the award were in the top 10 the year before. It's amazing how often it happens. And then that's when we started talking about, is Aiden Hutchinson the next guy in line who started to creep into that top 10, you know, before his injury? Is the kid down in Jacksonville that they drafted? Or Will Anderson with Houston? All those guys slide it. They all can win it. But I think it's very difficult for a player like Kyle Hamilton, even though he might be the best defensive player in the league, to win that award.
Myles Garrett has to finish out the year with no more sacks not to get it, number one. I think he's the best defensive player in football. He's having an impactful season. However, if you were to make an argument for Kyle Hamilton to win it, Ed, I think I would say to you, Well, maybe Patrick Surtain the second winning it last year breaks the mold.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe that breaks the trend. I agree. He's not going to win it. He's not going to win it. But however, maybe
there's more football to play. And I'm not wishing anything. Miles Garrett could, pull a calf muscle.
That's why I said that's what has to happen.
So, I mean, absolutely. I'm not going to give up on it because I'd love to see Hamilton win one. And I think he deserves it. Look at what he does. He could do everything.
The last time a safety won was 2010 with Troy Polamalu, which I'm sure he had a bunch of picks and sacks. And then I'm sure
Ed Reed won it in what, 09 or 08?
Ed Reed won in 04.
Oh, is that long ago?
Yeah. Suggs won in 2011. But again, it's like, here, let me just read the list so you guys can kind of get an idea. Surtain won last year, but again, no dominant pass rusher last year had a breakout season. Miles Garrett, Nick Bosa, TJ Watt, Aaron Donald. Donald won it three times. Stephon Gilmore, another cornerback that won it with the Patriots. But again,
I forgot about him.
Ton of interceptions.
Yeah.
And then Aaron Donald in 18, Aaron Donald in 2017, Khalil Mack, J.J. Watt in 15, 14, and 12.
And my point was going to be that what you just said, Jeremy. I think in order to win it on defense, you have to put up some kind of tangible stat. You know, you're not going to win it on film.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, if you need film to prove it, which it should be okay to do that, but Kyle Hamilton is a defensive player of the year on film.
Yeah,
there's statistically nothing that jumps out at you to get people's attention about him.
Well, it's like he's not going to win. If you took the NBA, for example, best rebounder, most assists, most points, you start looking at those. Kyle
Hamilton.
Defensive
player of the year, block shots, steals. It may be a guy who is a sieve. But he has a stat that stands out, and voters typically are lazy.
See, that's the thing, though. It's like if I were to compare him to like an NBA player, he's the guy that gets you 15 points, you know, your 9 rebounds or whatever. He gets you your 7 assists. He's going to get you a couple steals and blocks. He does everything better than most. But because you're doing this in all these different categories instead of just being the most dominant player in a singular category, like sacks or interceptions, that's where it comes in. And Luke Kuechly won one year. Because if you go back to that year, he had a bunch of sacks and he had a bunch of turnovers, but he also led the league in tackles.
Yeah, he had like 170 tackles, didn't he?
Yeah, I was going to say, what if you had a year of 170, 190 tackles, which is outrageously high? 200 tackles, off the charts.
You still need some other stuff to go right.
But you don't have any, you don't have any picks, no forced fumbles, no sacks. But you're probably the most important person on the team. You made 200 tackles.
Or like at the beginning of the year, you know what has to happen is that the narrative builds. Like the talking heads are talking about him all year long. Like, keep your eye on Kyle Hamilton. Look at what he's doing. And then it starts.
You're not talking about him now.
That's why I believe if he continues on his pace, Ed,
next
year he'll be a serious candidate. Next year he'll be a really – everybody will be looking for it. And I think the Ravens will be really smart in putting him somewhere where he could get some of those stats.
Yeah.
Maybe blitzing him a little bit more. Mm. I think Kyle Hamilton finishes out the year with maybe 6 or 7 sacks at his position. He wins it easily.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying from this point on, next year.
I'm still haven't given up on this year because it's still, what do you have, 9 games left? What time, how many have you played here?
This is week 11. So
7.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seven. So you have 7 left.
7.
7.
A 4, a 7, a 7.
World of Stupid at 7:15 with Jeremy Kahn. But on the other side, we're going to take a look and recap at some college football up next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
6:47 in the AM. College football. You called that one, Jeremy. Oklahoma over Alabama. What a good game. What a great game. However, Alabama, too many mistakes in this one.
Yeah, I'm glad
Oklahoma takes care of business.
I'm glad you started off with the one I got right this weekend. as I said, I had my three top plays. They were all blowouts in the wrong direction for me. It's just like, whoa. I haven't missed that badly on a Saturday in a while. But, I just don't know what Oklahoma is. And I felt like their defense is playing great. Alabama's offense, as much as I like Simpson and the wide receiving core they have there with Bernard and Williams, I mean, it's a really, really good group at Alabama. They played a lot of close games with, SEC opponents.
Right.
It's not like, I don't think anyone's really dominated the SEC. I mean, we were talking about A&M and, you know, what was going on with them this weekend. And it's like, all right, who's gonna cough this up? But I thought Oklahoma did everything they needed to do staying in that game and then finally pulling out a win. It does kind of mess up the playoff format now with them because I'm wondering if a three-loss team is going to get in at some point when we do all these tiebreakers. And
Bama has two, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Florida State in this one, right? They had another one that they should have lost the South Carolina game?
Yep.
And then they somehow, some way won that.
What do you mean somehow, some way? South Carolina, that's what they do. They're benevolent.
I did like all the people showing the picture of the guy running the touchdown and saying, he let him score. See, it's rigged. Well, no, if he didn't let him score, they weren't going to get the ball back and they were going to lose the game.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not rigged. It's
when
you watch the whole game, you understood why they did what they did. Any games that you liked over the weekend, Ed, you saw?
I didn't watch much college football this weekend.
I thought the Clemson
just hit a heater there.
Hey, I just said, hey, what's going on, babe? What happened?
Did that happen? I'm struggling here a little bit. It's like a little bit.
Tell him Large Marge sent you.
Oh, okay.
Man, way back, Pee Wee Herb.
Damn. We still got to go to his little, that bar where that was the movie theater.
Dun, 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 dun.
I mean. Yeah.
About the movie theater where you got caught doing the knuckle shuffle.
Yes.
I thought college football began great on Friday night, that Clemson-Louisville game. Clemson with the one-point win on the road.
How about Clemson fumbling the ball down on the one? Like, what are you guys doing? Why are you doing? Like, I had Clemson that night, and what did I say? I don't know if you remember this on Friday. I was going, these cats, they do this all the time, where I hate betting on them because even if you win, they're going to make you sweat your ass off, and that's exactly what they did in that game.
The ones I followed, I mean, obviously Georgia, Texas, because I was hoping Texas would.
Yeah, that was one of my top plays. How'd Texas do again? They lose by 30?
25.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lost by 25. And then the other one was Texas A&M getting nearly getting bounced by South Carolina.
Yeah.
And they should have. You're talking about a game they should have. South Carolina should have won.
No second half points.
Yeah, you brought up Alabama. Yeah. They were up 30-3 against Texas A&M, man.
Yeah,
give me a break. And people were texting me, "Yo, Ra, how you do this? I'm like, look, man, you're new to this. I'm used to this. I was distraught. I'm not distraught. I know this team. I know this team better than you know this team.
As I would tell people, we're not built the same.
No.
Your dad made you hold a flashlight. My dad made me hold a fleshlight. It's not the same thing, guys.
No, I didn't say it.
Oh, you didn't say it? Oh.
No, that doesn't apply to me. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's exactly what you said yesterday.
That's what really I take the conversation.
No, I thought you said it had to be.
You didn't think that.
I thought you said Spida.
No.
Oh. By the way, if you're looking ahead to this weekend,
mm-hmm.
What a weekend of games that we get. You get Pitt and Georgia Tech. And by the way, Georgia Tech gets Georgia next week. Tennessee, Florida, which should be a good one. But the one that everyone should have circled is BYU and Cincinnati.
Why?
Because one of those teams is going to get in the playoff.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's going to be Cincinnati after they beat BYU this weekend.
Do you like the automatic bids for conference champions? You think it's...
I think there should only be two.
What's that?
SEC and Big Ten.
Is that fair?
No, but it's the way it should be. Like, they're the biggest conferences. Like, get over yourself. Is it fair? No. Genetically, is it fair that I can't pee next to Rob Long in the bathroom because then I get pee shy?
Is that the way it should be?
No.
No. I mean, no, that's the way it should
be. It should be. Life isn't fair.
First of all, you know I'm an SEC apologist, so I agree with you, but I just, I can't say that.
Yeah. By the way, Ohio State, Michigan this weekend?
No.
That's November 29th. It's November 29th. It's just on my slate. What they do is they put all the big games. Yeah, thank you for correcting me.
Yeah.
As I looked over and said, it's not the 22nd, it's the 29th. But yeah, there's a bunch of good games this week.
Should be.
Michigan comes here.
That's not the category. That's not the category we're talking about, Ed.
By the way, you wanted to see Michigan in the first 3 or 4 weeks. They're not great, but they're starting to figure some things out.
Yeah, they are figuring it out. They're getting a little scary. The kid may be able to coach, man.
Yeah.
He might be. You know, sometimes you got to give a coach a chance to breathe.
Yeah, lots of big games this week, Duke and Kansas and college hoops. So, but going back to last week, if you were talking about some of the games that we saw and how it came down, like I'm really interested in Georgia Tech. I think that's become my team this year that I'm going to pull for.
Yeah.
I'd like to see them make a run. You know, it's a different brand of football, and it's not a fun brand for most people. I love their coach. I love the way the players talk about him. He's a former offensive lineman, and it's just like, go do your job. And he expects you to do your job, and if you do yours, he's going to do his, and then everything will end up fine in the end. So, but watch, Georgia Tech's going to run into Indiana, and it's going to be in. Just smoke their ass.
Do you think Indiana's going to be that team in the postseason? Do they have a real shot at winning the national championship?
I don't think they win the national championship. Do they have enough talent to do it? Yeah.
Won't they then?
Because I'm still a big believer and you got to lose before you win, and they haven't done it yet. They haven't got there and made some things happen. Now, you could say last year, you look at last year and how it went, but the way that they had it seeded, the whole thing was stupid, right? The worst teams were the ones getting the home games. They end up losing, and the other teams move on. So they'll figure it out. Yeah.
That automatic bid.
That's why I don't like it.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. Speaking of Jeremy Kahn, World of Stupid at 7:15. You don't want to miss that. But on the other side, we're talking Terps hoops. They pull off a comeback win against Marquette. How'd it make you feel? However, there was some bad news in that basketball game.
Yeah.
Terps hoops up next on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.